From the shadows of the radio towers,
this is the Gay PHX Podcast.
Your weekly dose of real talk,
queer joy,
and community connection.
It's gonna be a good day, and everything is going to go my way. It's gonna be a good day. The sun is shining bright and it's here to stay.
What if your first piece of gear didn't just fit, but made you feel invincible? In today's episode, you'll meet three incredible voices who've each built something bold, supportive, and joyfully queer. First up, Kenneth Anthony shares how finding your people can change your path and why showing up is sometimes the bravest step you can take. Then Rocco Cook takes us into the heart of community, where wagging tails, light up bocce balls, and late night fireside talks help build something real. From finding joy in pup play to creating safe spaces with the Phoenix Boys of Leather, he shows us what it means to serve with heart. And finally, Lou Bear from Strap Up shares how a trip to Joann Fabrics and a lack of options for bigger bodies sparked a 10-year journey of building bold, adjustable harnesses made for every shape and size. His designs celebrate color, comfort, and confidence, and prove that sexy gear should never be a one-size-fits-most. I've got to admit, I missed Chrome Night at Bunkhouse on Saturday, and wow, after seeing the pics and hearing the stories, I'm kicking myself. It looked wild in all the best ways. But I had good reason. We were across town working with a team at Grit, helping get everything ready for the return of their legendary pool parties, and I'm excited to finally say Grit pool parties are back. And we're proud to be teaming up with Grit to bring that Tempe oasis back to the community. Clothing optional, joy required. You can find all the splashy details at gritaz.com. And since we're talking about summer fun and pride vibes, how about a chance to celebrate in VIP style? Contests are officially back on GayPHX, and we're kicking things off with our first in-house giveaway thanks to our incredible sponsor, Oliver Electric. You could win two premium diamond-level tickets to Pride Night with the Diamondbacks on June 27th at Chase Field. These seats come with QR code ordering from your seats, 10% off concessions, 20% off the team shop, and discounts at cold beer and cheeseburgers. Just show your digital ticket. To enter, head over to gaypxx.com before midnight on Saturday, June 21st. The winner will be announced on the June 24th episode of the GayPHX Podcast. Bonus entries for following us, following Oliver Electric, and subscribing to this podcast. It's time to tell a tale and wag a little. This is the GayPHX Podcast.
You're listening to the GayPHX Podcast,
where community comes first.
Hey, hey, GayPHXers, are you ready to shake off the work week and dive into the fabulous, the furry, and the fun? Coming to you from the shadows of the radio towers, it's your GayPHX Weekend Picks. I'm Brian, and every week I bring you Brian's Hot 3, LGBTQ plus events lighting up the Phoenix scene that you can't miss. From across the valley, the fun, the fabulous, and the full of local flavor. Let's get into it. Friday, May 16th is the return of Fur Trade, Daddy Disco 4 at Pat O's Bunkhouse. Put on your platforms and prepare to grind because the Daddy Disco is back, baby. Guest DJs Danny G and Moody are dropping disco beats that will keep your booty dancing all night. Go-Go Bears bringing the moves, ice cold drinks, hot men, and all the flirty, hairy fun your Friday can handle. You know the vibe. This is where Phoenix comes to play after dark. Only at Pat O's Bunkhouse. Don't miss it. Sunday, May 18th from 2 to 5 is Suds and Studs at the Flex Spas. Presented by the Grand Canyon Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, scrub-a-dub-dub with some of the best damn do-gooders in town. The sisters are throwing a sizzling Suds and Studs fundraiser inside Flex Spas, complete with a complimentary cookout with your admission, bubbles, laughs, and maybe a little mischief in the steam. Support the community and get a little steamy while you're doing it. All proceeds benefit the Grand Canyon Sisters. Sunday, May 18th, from 10 to 3, the Melrose Vintage Market Spring Revival at the Deuce, downtown Phoenix. Vintage lovers and Sunday brunchers, this one's for you. The Melrose Vintage Market launches its summer series with a Spring Revival, a curated indoor market experiencing featuring 20-plus vintage and handmade vendors, live music, craft cocktails, brunch from the Deuce, all for just a $5 entry, which also gets you a ticket to the 50-50 raffle, a bonus raffle entry for June's Thieves Market debut. It's free valet and metered parking. Sorry, no pets inside. Fido's gotta sit this one out. Whether you're dancing in fur, shopping in style, or soaking in suds, Gay PHX has your weekend covered. And that's your Brian's Hot 3. This has been your Gay PHX Weekend Picks. Catch you next week. Same time, same vibe, same rainbow-tinted mic. Reminding you, support local, show up queer, and keep shining. Want more events, more photos, and more fabulous in your life? Head to gayphx.com and get the latest on everything fun, local, and queer in the desert. Coming to you from the shadows of the radio towers, I'm Brian, and that's what's hot. We'll see you there.
Want all the details? Head over to gayphx.com, your one-stop shop for queer events, promos, and everything happening in the valley.
More stories, more voices. More pride.
You're tuned in to the Gay PHX Podcast.
Arizona is repping hard at International Mr. Leather, and we're taking you with us. Catch the Arizona Men of Leather streaming live all weekend long from Chicago to gayphx.com/live. We're cheering on Dennis, Joe, Terry, and Britt as they compete for the title and show the world what Arizona leather is all about. Daily check-ins, real-time interviews, behind-the-scene moments, and a whole lot of leather. Join the chat, cheer on the crew, and feel the heat wherever you are. That's gayphx.com/live. It's AML at IML, and it's gonna be wild.
Another voice, another vibe, another reason we love this community.
What happens when service, integrity, and community come together in a powerful expression of brotherhood? Today's guest represents an organization that creates the essential spirit of the boy, grounded in respect, support, and deep love for leather. Through fellowship, service, and the bonds of chosen family, they've become a vital part of Phoenix leather landscape. Welcome to the Rainbow Tinted Microphone, Kenneth Anthony with the Phoenix Boys of Leather. Howdy, Kenneth. Thanks for joining me today.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
So let's start with your own journey. What first drew you to the leather community?
I have known that I was kinky since before I was 18. I would sneak peeks at things that I wasn't supposed to be looking at yet, magazines and online stories and things like that. So when I moved to Phoenix, part of my journey included finding a place that I could call home, finding a community that I could belong to. And so I knew that I was kinky. I had read and done a lot of research on the leather community. And so I started getting involved in the leather community itself. And through connections that I made with people like Stephen Bloom, I ended up getting to know the Boys of Leather a lot, and some of the other clubs and organizations in the Valley as well.
Help me understand that you knew you were kinky. I'm very curious about that.
So I used to be part of a historical reenactment group, and the crossover between that group and the leather community, there's some in there. And so some of the vendors that I would see would sell kinky items like floggers and canes and things like that. And so some friends of mine were like playing around in one vendor shop, like throwing a flogger and being like, oh, this is fun. This is kinky. This is sexy. This is blah, blah, blah. And so I took the flogger and I threw it a couple of times and I was like, yeah, no, actually this is fun and this is sexy. And this is kinky and I like it. And I had known like about things somehow, and I think that it was from a friend's mom. I got a book called Master's Counterpoints, which was a fictional story about murder in it was a murder mystery novel that had a lot of kinky elements in it.
Oh, very fun.
The main characters were involved in the leather community. And so, like, I knew the leather community existed. I didn't think that people were out there murdering each other. I knew that that part of the book was fiction.
Thank goodness.
But also, like, some of the ideas that they had, like, really intrigued me. And so, of course, it was the early days of the internet. It was the Wild West back then, and adult content was not as heavily protected as it is now. So I was able to get my hands on images and stories online from story repositories and things like that of the kinky things.
The old news groups. And how did you get involved with the Phoenix Boys of Leather?
So it was really roundabout. I started, and it was definitely a journey. I had started becoming involved in the overarching leather community in about 2007. I had been doing a lot of research on what leather was, what the community was, things like that. And I had gone out and found myself a leather mentor. His name was Steven, a local leather celebrity here in town. He's been doing it for a long, long time. And he convinced me to run for the Mr. Cellblock contest, which I did and became a leather title holder. And then from there, like, I was learning and experimenting and getting to know folks. And so I had several encounters with the Phoenix Boys of Leather. My partner at the time became a member of the Phoenix Boys of Leather. We were exploring the leather journey together, exploring our kinkiness together. We had founded the Arizona Puffs and Handlers. That is another organization I'm involved with, if you want to ask me about that later. We had founded the Arizona Puffs and Handlers, which was about puppy play and handlers and things like that, and just getting to know the whole community. I joined an organization called the Arizona Men of Leather. I joined a educational organization called the Arizona Power Exchange. And I was just like a sponge, absorbing everything that I could, learning the people, learning the protocols and the rituals and things like that with the help of my mentor, and just kind of seeing what was out there. So I had a lot of contact with the Boys of Leather through my partner, and just the friendships that I made there, and the people who like joined the club after I was hanging out with them. I didn't join the club right away because back then it was specifically a club run by boys for boys, and they wanted to maintain the integrity of that. And so I was a guest hanging out, offering insights and comments when they were appropriate, and then just making friends and having a good time. After about 10 years of that, my leather brother and I were the first people to be invited to participate in the club as non-voting members. They created a category of membership for us. We can't hold office, we can't vote, but we have an opinion, and the club is our home.
Oh, that's nifty. They made a special category. And someone hearing about the Phoenix Boys of Leather for the first time, how would you describe the club and what it stands for?
The best way to describe the club, honestly, is to read the mission statement. If you go to pbol.org, it's got a lot of information about who the club is and what the club is. But our mission statement is right on the front of the page. And it says, in celebration of the essential boy spirit, the Phoenix Boys of Leather exist to serve, support, and enrich the leather community. We gather in boyhood and brotherhood to support our members and to serve our community with respect and integrity without regard to gender, orientation, or appearance. And so that is essentially what it is. A lot of the people founded the club came from the leather community, where brotherhood is, or siblinghood, is like a big draw for them. Some folks came from military backgrounds, and some people came from fraternity backgrounds, where just the idea of gathering together to be social, to have fun, to serve, to support, to love, and to play, were all ideologies that we just really like wanted. They really wanted to embody and bring forward.
That sounds awesome. And can someone brand new walk in and feel welcome?
Absolutely. So the Phoenix Boys of Leather meet every Thursday from 7 to 9 at Ripple on 15th Avenue and Indian School. All of the meetings are open. The first meeting of the month is our business meeting where we talk about what we're going to do for the rest of the month or what we did last month. We also, one Thursday a month, the third Thursday, we have a discussion night that we pick the topic at the business meeting. And it's a discussion or a demo or a presentation about the lifestyle, like being kinky, you know, or it could be a discussion of topics of the day, like consent is a really big topic of the day at the moment. We've talked about politics and how to get involved and stay involved in local politics. We've talked about, you know, we've done demonstrations on how to safely do wax play, you know, how to do flogging, things like that. So it's, and then the rest of the meetings, the rest of the Thursdays are purely social. You show up, you talk to somebody, you'll get introduced around. And absolutely, it's open to anybody to show up. To become a member, you do have to demonstrate some commitment to being a part of the organization, a part of the club. It helps if you're kinky, but one of the criteria that the boys look for in full members is possessing that boy spirit, that sort of Peter Pan-esque or service-oriented or sometimes submissive, sometimes alpha, just boyness. And I don't use boy as a gendered term in this sense. It's just an essence of who you are, of who a person is.
That's why it's the boy spirit.
Yes. Exactly.
So what advice would you give someone who feels that but hasn't found their way in yet?
Show up. I've had several people ask me how they can get involved with the boys because they see us out and about having fun, supporting other organizations and events, going to, you know, dance parties and things like that. And the biggest thing is you show up. And that's a really, I get it. That's a really hard thing to do when you're by yourself and brand new and wanting to get to know people. But the Phoenix Boys of Leather have actually been accused of being too friendly when new people show up. And it can be a little intimidating because folks will go out of their way to make sure that they say hi to a new face. And when you walk into a room full of 50 people who know each other, and every single one of them walks up and says hi to you, that can be a little overwhelming. But people who keep coming back find that it is really easy to fit in because we don't expect people to be anything except the person that they are. And that's really important to us. That's part of the integrity. That's part of the authenticity that we practice and preach. And so when you show up, we're like, okay, tell us who you are. And we'll give people the opportunity to tell us and show us who they are. And hopefully they mesh well with the group and we start talking and hanging out and having a good time.
Excellent. And you mentioned it before, but let's go ahead and repeat that. Where can people learn about the Phoenix Boys of Leather and about the different events?
So we have a public webpage, pbol.org, the initials of Phoenix Boys of Leather. And on the Phoenix Boys of Leather website, there's a Google calendar that's updated with all of our upcoming events. It will be updated again on Friday. We're going to have the business meeting for May on Thursday. And so we'll discuss all of the events that are coming up that we're participating in. Or like I said, we are every Thursday, we are at Ripple, where you can also go to get your HIV services and tests if you need those. But the Phoenix Boys of Leather meet in their space. It's on 15th Avenue and Indian School. We're there from 7 to 9 every Thursday. And then we also, Anvil is our home bar. And the last Saturday, final Saturday of every month, not always the fourth Saturday, always the final Saturday, we host our gear night, which is whatever gear you feel sexy in, you should wear it out and hang out with us and have a good time, maybe have a drink or two. Occasionally we do themed gear nights with demos and stuff. That's always on the calendar if that's happening. But those are our set scheduled events every Thursday and the last Saturday of every month. And then we do a bunch of like ad hoc and random other events throughout the year. We have an annual camping trip. We meet with other clubs in someone's home city, hang out for a weekend, things like that. But all of that ends up on our calendar with information on the website. And we also have a Facebook page. If you look up Phoenix Boys of Leather on Facebook, you'll find it.
Excellent. Kenny, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to meet with me. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
New episodes, local voices, big queer energy. Subscribe now to the Gay PHX podcast.
Have a car or you get drop off at the Melrose neighborhood.
This is the Rainbow on Wheel.
If you go to Bun House, if you go to Charlie's, if you go to Thunderbird Lounge or even Stacy's, they got you back to back. All the bars at the Melrose neighborhood, Rainbow on Wheels got you. The rates are only $4 per person, $6 per couples. If you have a whole group, it's $9. And they also have like a night pass for $10. And the space is amazing. It's very comfy. It's very safe. It's quick. It's cheap. You gotta try it. Please follow their page. Me as your Mr. Phoenix Fry, I recommend this service. Rainbow and Wheels at Melrose neighborhood.
More stories. More voices. More pride. You're tuned in to the Gay PHX podcast.
You've seen him showing up leathered out for the Phoenix Boys of Leather, wagging tails with the Arizona pups and handlers, and always, always with that signature smile. From the Queer Center's booth to the patios of your favorite bars and hangouts, he's out there spreading love, building bridges, and showing up for all of us. Please welcome to the rainbow tinted microphone, Rocco Cook. Oh, Rocco, thank you so very much for being on the podcast.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. I might tear up after that little introduction. Thank you.
Oh, of course. Yeah, we love you, you know. Let's start with when the gear comes off, who is Rocco Cook?
You know, Rocco is, I'm a leather boy at heart, and so I live as authentically as I possibly can. So my goal is that when the gear comes off that the leather heart doesn't. So whether that's, you know, Pup Rocco or Boy Rocco or Just Rocco or whatever, I try to be as authentic as I can. So it doesn't really matter what I'm wearing.
Help me understand when you say you identify as a boy, correct?
Uh-huh, that's right.
And what first drew you into that, and what does that mean to you? Help our audience understand.
Yeah, great. That's a great question. So it's not a gendered thing. I think that's like the first misconception that people have. I mean, we all grew up with our own language and that sort of thing. But in the leather community, boy has become a role that people identify with that is on the submissive side. But it's not quite a slave, not quite, you know, not quite an alpha either, like somewhere kind of in the middle. Being a boy is much more about camaraderie and having fun and building friendships and family. And so being a leather boy really kind of means living that side of my life where I don't have to hide my submissive self, or, you know, it doesn't stop me from taking on leadership roles or, you know, being out there in the community. So I got started, I've identified as a boy for a really long time. Like a lot of people, I started off identifying as like a sir or a dom just because it felt safe. But when I figured out that I could trust other people and how to let my guard down, that wasn't really who I was authentically. So here we are today. I joined the Phoenix Boys of Leather in 2008. It solidified the idea that that being a boy was about connection and camaraderie and also submission and service. So I try to live out those ideals. When I first started in the leather community, I kind of jumped in with both feet and won a leather title. I was Mr. Bluegrass Drummer and Mr. Kentucky Drummer in 1999. And identified like as a sir then because I was so scared to be a boy and so scared that other people might judge me for that. So that's kind of how it all started. With the boys, I've grown and developed and, you know, I came out of a dark place when I found the boys. And for me, that's been a big source of inspiration and happiness. So
in your being a boy, it involves acts of service, heart, and humility. What kind of service brings you the most joy?
Connection, absolutely connection. So I'm not a good like house boy. don't please don't ask me to clean your house because you won't like it. Neither will I. for me, acts of service though are found in the connections that I have with other people, and so a lot of times that's one on one, and a lot of times it's not just one-on-one. A lot of times it's also, you know, out in the public and out representing, you know, those connections and representing the clubs that I'm part of. And so those are also acts of service. I enjoy speaking and I enjoy like some of the public stuff. I'm actually a really kind of shy person. But I kind of enjoy the public speaking side of things. And so, So I'm out front fairly often. It's taken me a long time, well, since 2008, with the boys to kind of understand how that role fits in. So being active service would also include like mentoring other people. I spend a fair amount of time with the boys, like, you know, talking about our values and talking about what that looks like in practice. And a lot of new people come along the way. And so, I love like sticking my hand out and just saying, "Hey, I'm Rocco. What's your name?" When it's a safe space for me. I'm not really good at doing that just like for the moment in a crowd I don't know, but when it's in a safe space where there are other boys present, then it's pretty easy for me to do. So, yeah.
So do you get empowered by being around them? Is that what helps it?
Yeah. So empowerment, I can let my guard down. Otherwise I just put on a mask of like, you know, I sold cars for a while. So I know how to mask and stick my hand out and say, "Hi, I'm Rocco. What's your name?" But I'm most comfortable doing that when I have my friends and family around. And so the other part of it is that I guess an active service is that I want to create a sense of safety for the people around me. And so whether that's with Arizona Pups and Handlers, or whether that is, with Phoenix Boys of Leather or just in my day-to-day life, I really strive to create safety as much as I can. I don't always succeed. And I recognize that, but I try as much as I can. And I think that is the service side of me trying to make it easy for other people to be their authentic selves as well. I'm incredibly grateful for those connections. I spent several years kind of lost and trying to figure things out. And I've come out the other side of it, after I moved to Phoenix, of finding that community. So for me, it's also about gratitude. Like if I'm actually a grateful person, then how dare I try and keep that from other people?
That's an excellent outlook. You had mentioned the Arizona Pups and Handlers as well. Mm-hmm. What drew you in, and what do these groups mean to you, both the Phoenix Boys of Leather as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So they're very different groups. For a long time, Arizona Pups and Handlers, it started off as like a pretty small group. Actually, it started in 2007, so I came a year after it started. And Daddy Kenneth and Pup Mohawk really kind of encouraged my pup side. I was actually given the name Pup Rocco in 1999 in Lexington, Kentucky, with a partner of mine, and it just kind of stuck. And so Rocco is not my legal name, of course, but I like it a lot. And so Rocco, R-O-C-C-O, it's a different spelling, but Rocco, Saint Rocco, is the patron saint of puppies, of dogs, and also of sick people. And so I work in HIV, and I have for a long time, and off and on. And so for me, like, that pup side of things, I get to be like, I don't know, this sounds kind of corny and hokey, but as a pup, I get to be an innocent pup. I don't have to worry about, like, oh, I'm a naughty person, or I'm not doing things right, or, you know, am I perverted, or whatever all of the other stuff means. I get to be a dog, and I get to space out, and I get to have fun with my friends. Became collared to Kenneth.
It's a Zen happy space.
Yeah, it's a happy space. Absolutely. You know, I wag a lot because I don't know. That's just like me finding my inner joy. I do find that when I'm stressed out, sometimes I wag even more because it's a happy place for me. So that's really kind of what it is for being a pup. A pup is also not, we don't think of pups very often in terms of age. And so that goes along with voicing too. I don't see myself as like someone like who's getting older in the community or whatever. I'm just me, and I get to be a pup, or I get to be a boy, and show joy through that. So so that's kind of what it means to me. I did learn a lot about being a pup from Pup Mohawk, who I don't know how well you knew him, but he was my best friend, and he taught me awful lot about just letting go and being a puppy. We moshed together a lot. And I still hold those values and those ideals to be, you know, I strive for that myself now. Mohawk wasn't a perfect person by any means, but he did speak happiness and he did speak joy when he was in pup mode. So that's what it means to me to be a puppy. Arizona Pups and Handlers has gone through some transformation. The pup community exploded like right after the pandemic, and it was crazy. Like, we'd have pup nights and there'd be 150 people in hoods that I didn't know, and it got really kind of scary.
Wow.
Right? Like, I mean, you've seen it. You were just in the pup contest, right? Like, so many.
Right.
People.
Yeah.
And it's hard to know who
we were at the meet and greet. We were just like, whoa.
right? So much
fun. And it was
lagging.
So much fun.
It is. It is so, right? so much fun. It can't. Yeah, it should be, right? Like, when people take themselves too seriously as a puppy, or like, you know, I'm a human person pretending to be a dog, so I can't take myself that seriously. But sometimes people do. But that's not what it's about. It's really about finding the joy in the inner dog in yourself, and not worrying about all the
It's embrace
stuff.
The cringe.
It is
I
embrace.
I heard those words. I believe it was Pup Lexi. I thought about it, and I'm like, I can't remember if it was Lexi or Stitch, to be honest, so I want to give credit where credit's due, but it was during that interview when I heard those words, I'm like, yes, I get that. I understand that, and I get it, because when I do something, I'm like, oh, and then I'm like, yep, there's that cringe factor. Well, I got to do things despite that. It's how I also get out of my comfort zone.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And then that's when you know you're like being authentic, because there's nobody else making you do this. Like, you're choosing to do this on your own.
Right.
And I find a lot of joy in that. And, you know, I've never been like, I've never been a go along with the crowd kind of person. So for me, it really works to be different and to embrace the cringe. Like you said, I love being a pervert sometimes.
What's something you think that people misunderstand about the scenes that you're a part of, like being a pup or a boy?
I think that they think that it is a super serious thing, and that, that when I say that I'm in the lifestyle, that it is a very regimented community and process. And when I say chosen family, like, they forced me into this family. I think that there's a lot of misconception about the agency when it comes to this stuff. I choose to give power away sometimes. You know, I've been collared to Kenneth for 13 years. I choose that, but I choose that on my own terms. I still have agency to make those decisions. And it's taken me a long time to kind of get that, to be honest. You know, at first I did it because I enjoyed it. I was horny and it fit. And so it made sense, right? To say that sex isn't part of it isn't actually being truthful either. So like for me, it is a sexual thing. But it's finding the joy in that sex and that differentness and choosing when I give that power over and when I don't. And trying to help other people along that journey too.
And what's like your favorite memory or moment from an event that really sticks out to you?
Oh, wow. One of the very first was, when I mentioned I won Mr. Bluegrass Drummer, I was in Lexington, Kentucky. It was 1999. I'd been out in leather for like 2 years. I'd only been out, you know, for like 4 or 5 years at that point. And I was working in HIV prevention. And I had just joined a leather club called the Lexington Lions and Leather Club. Lexington Lions Leather and Levi Club. There we go. They're no longer around anymore, but they embraced me. I was kind of part of the foundation of it when it started, and I was the youngest person in the group by far. And they encouraged me to run, and they encouraged me to be part of the community. And they had a lot of fun with it with me. It was all brand new to me. So when I was standing on the stage and I looked out in the crowd and I saw all of my club brothers, like, you know, cheering me on. And also seeing the kids that I was working with at the time. I used to be, I worked in HIV prevention, youth prevention, as a youth specialist. And so, like the kids from the gay youth group that I started were there and cheering me on. And I have to say that, like, as sort of an inaugural event for me, that really does stick out in my head. Those were relationships that I some of which I still have today. And that was a long time ago. So that's definitely one of them. I think more recently, camping trips with the boys, is if you've never experienced it, it's something to behold. It's so much fun. We go and there's a lot of nakedness. Sometimes we go to federal land, so it's kind of okay. And we just run around and chase each other and have fun and sit by the fire and tell stories and, you know, drink some, of course, and help each other set up tents. And, you know, we do a big group meal. And for me, like, that repeated thing every year means so very much. And that's a good way for people to get introduced to who the boys are. So I think, you know, camping this past year, but also all the previous years, we've been doing it for, I don't know, like 15 years or something. And
do you do it once a year? How many times a year do you do it?
We usually do it once a year. It's in the fall.
Once a year.
We usually go around September when it starts to, when we're so tired of the heat here, we escape to halfway between Sedona and Flagstaff, on Schnebley Hill Road. Go up to the pines and, it's just so nice. And it's finally cool. We get to escape a little bit. So that's probably one of my favorite events. You know, you can let your guard down. You can, have some real honest conversations with people. You know, you can screw around in the woods if you want. Like there aren't a lot of like, rules to follow when you're there. You just be, and, that's what I love. One of the things that we do,
you know,
though,
screwing around in the woods is to me. So
I almost said effing around in the woods, but I wasn't sure how, you know, this is a family show.
Oh, you can. It's a podcast, so we're fine. We have no broadcast.
Awesome. So yeah, so fucking around in the woods, you know, setting up a sling in the woods is hot. It's a lot of fun.
Nice.
Yeah, absolutely. But the other part of it too is that the very first camping trip that I went on was actually APAW and PVOL. And I learned to like also just let my puppy self go. So we play a game of bocce ball. It's nighttime bocce ball. with light up balls. And so we play it, we throw the balls into the woods, and we all chase after that one white ball, right? We have different colors, and whoever gets closest to the ball, it wins that round. And we play like 20 rounds or something. And we're all a little tipsy and running around in the woods and hearing the coyotes howl. And I don't know, it's just really special. And you know, that's a very, I like to wear my pup hood when I'm doing it. It's just a lot of fun. So, yeah.
You had me at light up balls.
Right. Right. I mean, that certainly can be part of camping. So there you go.
Now, for someone who's new to leather or who's listening to this and is curious, and you know, that's the whole goal of this podcast is to help people who might be a little bit afraid or not sure, what's your best advice for them trying to ease in and find their people?
Once you find like that spark of connection, go ahead and trust that. Like, go ahead and let that be what it is. And if the person smiles back at you and like greets you warmly, and they remember seeing your face the next time they see you, like that might be your community. Not necessarily, like you can search it out and, you know, tip your toe into it, you know, briefly, but honestly, like trusting that other people do want to care about you. And that's something that we have a tendency to lose. Like, you know, there's a little bit of bickering sometimes in the leather community, and there's always drama in every community, blah, blah, blah. But honestly, when we just smile past that and we look for each other's hearts, that's when it's real. And so for someone new coming along, and you know, currently I'm the vice president of the Phoenix Boys, and vice president in charge of the mentor program, and we currently have 12 mentees. So that means we have, wow, gosh, 22 mentors, so members who are mentors with these mentees. And in the boys, we started growing really quickly. When I was president, like, I don't know, it became like a really good place for people to be. So we've had this, like, I don't know, 15-year growth spurt. and it's really pretty phenomenal. But also, we didn't want to just take people in and not know who they were. So we slowed down the process with the mentor process. We're not teaching people how to be, a boy or a pup or anything like that. We're just teaching them how to connect with other people. And so we work with them through that process. It takes generally between a minimum of 6 months. The average is around 9 months. So it's not like an overnight process. But I can say that like the people who go through that process become my brothers and my sisters. And, it's a beautiful thing. When that connection can happen. But it all has to start with like trusting yourself. Like, oh, I'm going to go out on a Thursday night because the boys get together every Thursday. I'm going to go out on a Thursday night and be vulnerable and go to a social or like a discussion. And it's hard, right? It's really, really hard to do that. So going and finding the person that smiles back at you, that's what I encourage people to do.
Any new goals, projects, or just for fun adventures coming up for you?
IML is coming up here soon, so I'm looking forward to going to that. Daddy Kenneth and I have been going to that for...
You're
going to
be out there?
I'll be out there, absolutely. Going to the parties and,
awesome.
Repping with the patch. Like, I love finding other boy groups and other people in the clubs and just identifying with them. One other thing that I kind of didn't mention about what it means to be a boy, the boy movement got started in the early 2000s. Based off of one person who was in a difficult relationship, and they weren't allowed to make friends because they were submissive to their sir, and their sir didn't really allow that. And so they started a club, the DC Boys of Leather, mostly because they needed connection in ways that they hadn't found it in their relationship with their sir. And so that's kind of what the boy stuff is all about. In a lot of ways, is protection and, you know, honoring each other, that sort of thing. So I just wanted to make sure I got that in because I don't know if you mentioned it. Other things I'm looking forward to.
No, that's a beautiful thing.
Pool parties in the summertime. Like, we have I freaking love Phoenix for the pool parties. Getting a little crazy sometimes, I think it's fun. And then, you know, we have the Western Boy Run coming up. In October. It's the first weekend of October. And it is a run that grew out of the Western Boy Run back in the heyday, and we reinvigorated it. It's something that I did with Marcus and a couple of other boys around the country. And so we all meet in one place, and we switch it off from year to year. So I think this is the fourth year that Phoenix Boys of Leather has hosted. So we invite boys and their partners and anyone in that kind of vein of things to come and hang out with us. It's about camaraderie. So we're putting in a lot of work right now to develop the Western Boy Run. This is our, I think, 12th or 13th year for it. Last year it was in Denver. Year before it was in Las Vegas. It's been in Dallas. It's been in some other places. So Albuquerque. So yeah, so Western Boy Run is definitely something I'm looking forward to. I encourage people to come out and check it out if you want to hang out with boys and be part of this.
How can they learn about that? Is there a website, social media?
Yeah, if you go to pbol.org, so that's Phoenix Boys of Leather. .org, but the, just the initials pbol.org, and it will be // WBR for Western Boy Run. I don't know that the page is live yet. It will be live in the next couple of days, so people can check that out there. You can also see our calendar of events at pbol.org, and honestly, we get together every Thursday night. We have dinner first. We go to we have a social or a chat or a discussion or demo. And then we go to Anvil for karaoke at 9. So almost every Thursday you'll see us, you know, belting it out at Anvil.
Excellent. And when someone crosses paths with Rocco at an event, what do you hope they leave with?
I hope that they leave with someone who smiled back at them, that they felt validated because they connected with me.
Well, I'll say since the day I've met you, I felt connected with you. That's why it feels like an honor to have you here. I always love the seeing you with your smile. It brings a smile to me. It brings a smile to me right now thinking about your smile.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That means a lot. And I have to say back at you, like I love that when I smile, you smile, and you smile, and I smile, and it's like a bit of a hug fest, and it's great. You and Brian both, like, I love your energy. I love all the work that you're doing. You're putting in the hard work right now, and that's the kind of stuff that actually builds community, you know, putting aside some of the, you know, the drama stuff and just focusing on the good things that we've got, I think is something that y'all do very well. So I appreciate that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Well, one of the things that you do that inspired us is that you're always building bridges, and that's my mentality. And I learned that from watching you. I'll just say that. So.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yeah. One of the ways that we're doing that is with the Play Friendly campaign. I don't know. I believe you took a picture with us, so appreciate that.
Oh, yes.
It was started by Dave Watt and I, and we put together a committee with the Phoenix Boys, and we did a lot of like development and research and trying to figure out the best messages. We may have had a play party that helped people identify like play, like what is it that you look for in play and find those positive messages. It's kind of a health program that's sort of in the team friendly or Mr. Friendly mode, but it's getting people talking about taking play and kink out of the shadows and embracing it and talking about it to each other, which is a novel idea. So we encourage people to hold up a placard that has a saying on it. It could be like a consent thing. It could be something about not using poppers and hard-on pills at the same time. That's a big no-no. Or it's about like living stigma-free with HIV or any of that stuff. So I think that one of the ways that we're trying to, that I try to really kind of build those bridges is encouraging everybody to come take a picture and get involved. And, you know, if you want, if a club wants to do this, we'll help them get started with it. And so it's a media campaign, social media campaign. And if you go to hashtag the new sex ed, because it's, we weren't taught very well in high school sex ed. So it's a way for us to kind of go.
There
back
was no
say,
sex
oh,
ed. There was maybe a video from like the 60s, and this is in the 80s when I was in school. I'm dating myself, and we're watching something from the 60s. And I'm like, you know, I already know more than this video.
Oh, Jesus, right? Like, yeah, eighth grade, I was
right. No, and our goal with the podcast is the same thing that your goal is, which is to normalize talking about kink, talking about these things, because they're not as taboo as people think they are. This is what we need to be normalizing, not dictatorships.
Right, because then we're not perverts, right? If we're having conversations about the stuff that's healthy and positive, then we take that whole, you know, stigmatizing language out of it. And we're whole people. We're healthy people. We communicate with each other. We observe consent. We, you know, we stand for each other. We protect each other. We're loyal to each other. And so I think that, you know, we get a bad rep sometimes, and we don't necessarily need to do that.
Agreed. Again, Rocco, thank you so very much. I really appreciate it. I know I kind of went off. If people want to follow you, how can they find you on the socials or on the internet?
Oh, sure. So I say on the apps, I'm PupPHX. I say that kind of carefully, I guess, but whatever. It doesn't matter, right? Or Rocco.cook, Rocco Cook on my Facebook is a good way to find me. So yeah, PupPHX, that's kind of who I am. I'm a bit of a pocket pup, so yeah. Reach out.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you so very much.
All right. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate you having me.
This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was. I love this conversation. This was great.
Pride isn't just a weekend. It's a way of life on the Gay PHX podcast.
Looking for a reason to smile this summer? Grit pool parties are back.
Freaking awesome.
And Tempe Sundays just got a whole lot hotter. Clothing optional. BYOB. And yes, the legends are true. Whether you're here to flirt, float, or find your tribe, it's all happening at Grit. Spots are limited. Visit gritaz.com to grab yours.
Uplifting the community.
One business at a time.
It's the Business Spotlight.
From bedazzling tees that slay the runway to harnesses that hug every curve just right, his work turns looks and heads wherever it goes. If it's fierce, custom, and made with love, it's probably his. Welcome to the rainbow-tinted microphone, Lou Bear.
Hello.
Hello and welcome. I'm so excited about this.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Full disclosure, we met Lou a few years ago at IBC and fell in love with his stuff and have probably 10 harnesses of his between Brian and I.
We're not going to stop. Thank you so much for all the support.
Of course, we love your stuff. So let's get started about your origin story. How did you first get into creating custom gear?
I'd like to start off by saying that I'm celebrating 10 years with Strap Up this month. And when I started 10 years ago, I would say that the leather selection was pretty barren. It was either kind of black or brown. There wasn't a lot of color, a lot of pattern. So I just tried to find something that was a little different and not necessarily something that was out there. At the time, Yarnuses were a big thing. If you remember that trend where people were, there was a company out there knitting harnesses for people, which was kind of cool. So,
I miss that trend. That sounds amazing, especially since I know so many people that knit. I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to go ask now.
Yeah, there was an entire booth at Dury Alley one year where there was just a pup literally crocheting harnesses. And I saw that in one of the videos on YouTube and I was like, this is cool. I wonder what else is out there. At the time, I was also about 160 pounds heavier than I currently am. So understanding that being a bigger guy for as long as I had, that leather and gear wasn't necessarily accessible or affordable for a larger person was another reason that kind of struck a chord with me to start something new. And that's kind of where it all started. I had a buddy of mine who knew a little bit about sewing, who helped me start the business. And we went to Joann's and picked out a couple things and drafted up a few things. And then I had the idea to put some adjustability in it so it would live with you as you were to gain or lose weight, because literally every body is different. And everybody deserves to feel confident and sexy.
That's kind of where
it all started.
Yeah, that's what we love about your products. One, the color. I mean, of course, us.
Sure.
And that it is adjustable. So, like, when someone wants to borrow something, we can adjust it for them, and it fits them, and it's great. And, you know, it's got a wide range that it can fit, and it's so many different varieties of options. It's, like I said, it's our favorite. So do you remember the first thing that you ever made?
I do, as a matter of fact. My first harness is actually not with me anymore. It was given to a friend of mine whom I met during an event, Bear Week in P-Town. I'm sure you've heard of Provincetown, Massachusetts. I was invited there by a friend of mine, and we got amazing lodging for super cheap. And I brought these prototypes with me, and I ended up meeting an adult star who wore my first ever prototype in an adult film, which was a great little introduction. Though there was no tagging or notoriety from it, I still have the posterity and the images. I can point you to them to show you my first ever prototype that's out there in the wild.
That is awesome.
Yeah, pretty cool. Awesome.
Yeah. How would you describe Strap Up to someone who's discovering your work for the first time?
I would say that Strap Up is your one-stop shop for your first piece of gear if you're new to the scene, or your new favorite piece of gear if you're an experienced person in the scene. I offer a lot of different benefits than a leather harness in a lot of different ways. Obviously, the adjustability, which leather does have some adjustability, but I always tell people, as an example, if you've ever seen a harness that looks like it's made out of belt straps with, you know, buckles and things like that, that inch between those two holes could be your perfect fit, and you'll never, ever get it. So I build my gear in such a way that it is constantly adjustable and can fit a wide range of sizes. That's just one of the many things that makes it different.
And again, it's one of the things that we love about it, that adjustability, that in between, that not the whole punched spot.
Right.
So you also make your bedazzled shirts, which I love because, you know, sparkle. What inspired you to branch out into that?
COVID, actually. So that all started with rhinestone masks during COVID. I've always kind of had an affinity for the sparkle. And I brought it to the business during COVID. But I started doing rhinestone masks around the time that we needed to be wearing masks, and people were doing, you know, cloth masks and stuff like that. And then as things progressed, I kind of was like, well, cloth masks aren't really a thing anymore. We should probably move on to something a little bigger. So I went into t-shirts as just kind of a way to maybe match with your harness, because some of the designs that I've created on the rhinestone side match very well with some of the patterns and prints that I have on the harness side. So it's all about a look, right?
Right. And what's your favorite piece that you've created? Something that really stands out?
On the rhinestone side?
Both. Or the combination of the two. Side.
Oh, okay.
Like a whole outfit.
Yeah. well, I do have to be a bit of a name dropper here. In regard to that question, when it comes to harnesses, I would say probably my favorite and most notable piece for those who are in the know is when I designed for Evie Oddly from RuPaul's Drag Race Season 11.
Ooh.
Yeah.
We know that name.
That was quite the time. Yes. I have known Evie for the better part of 10 years now. And she approached me when she was getting cast on the show and asked me to help her with a look. And I immediately agreed. And if you're familiar, I made the full body neon green harness on the ball challenge look for her Trampy Trick or Treater when she came out as a T-Rex.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
How am I just now learning this? This is amazing.
I've
got to go back and watch this.
I had no idea. Yeah, I didn't know that you didn't know. yeah, that was a lot of fun. That story is almost surreal to me, because as someone who literally lives that show and is like a meta fan, in so many different ways, to be approached and asked to assist was something that I could not pass up.
I completely understand. Wow, that is awesome. That's wow. That's really cool. If I may ask, is that your biggest client?
Yes, I would say. I mean, outside of, and I mean, it's segmented, if you will. So, like, you have Evie on the drag race side. I've worked with several different adult entertainers. So, depending on how you slice it, I would say Evie is definitely up there, and I'm happy to,
because Evie's crossed into mainstream with drag race,
yes,
versus other parts of our community. That's the only reason I say that too.
Correct. For clarity. Yeah.
So when you're designing something new, where do you start? Is it color? Is it function? Is it vibe? Is it just inspiration?
Well, I do get inspiration from a lot of my clients, actually, because I have created, I believe at this point, it's 6 or 7 different harness styles that are traditional that you can see out there on any given leather website. But I also love custom creations. I love to experiment with the materials that I use and make things that are one-off and one of a kind. And I've done quite a bit with clients who are looking for something that's a little more full body, or want to do like armbands and leg straps and things like that, and harnesses that they've never seen me make, but they think that, you know, the material would lend itself well. So I'm always willing to work on new and exciting creations. It inspires not only me, but also the longevity of the business, so that I can continue to create for a wide audience who may not think that they could wear something like this, or, you know, see something like this.
So speaking of that, do you have any memorable moments with customers that put it on for the first time and understand that they can be sexy?
Oh, absolutely. So my main bread and butter for these last 10 years has been my own personal community, the Bears and the Chubs of the gay world. And, being that I started as a larger person and took this leap, I do tend to go back to those same events where these larger boys, you know, have always seen harnesses, but they don't necessarily know if they would work for them. And I've had, several people, one most notably at an event that I'm going to this year in Vegas called Bigger Vegas. Their last one happened about 3 years ago. And I had someone come up to me very apprehensively about purchasing a harness. We looked through my inventory. I gave them kind of a one-on-one about how to fit it and how to wear it and how they're comfortable. And when they looked in the mirror, they almost welled up a little bit. I could see their face getting red. And I wasn't sure if it was embarrassment or, you know, some new confidence coming through. But by the end of the weekend, that same person approached me and was like, I just want to let you know that I had the best weekend. I got so many compliments on this harness. I met somebody. Like, it was to be able to do this and to provide a service for someone that can make them feel differently or get them out of their headspace in a situation like that. I mean, I don't really know how to describe it. It's great. It's amazing. And I'm really, really happy that I can do that for whoever's interested.
Yeah. It's those powerful stories that we love to hear here. That's, you know, it gets me right there.
Thank you.
So what is it you would want the Phoenix community to know about you and your brand?
Well, Phoenix has beautiful weather all year round, and I think that Phoenix would be a great place to have some of my products, because you guys go in the pool on Thanksgiving. I was in the pool on Thanksgiving. So to be able to, you know, have those products that are available and usable throughout the year for you, and you look good doing it, and you're turning heads, you're getting attention at these parties that happen all the time. I mean, you know, that's really what it's all about, is getting yourself out there and being confident in your own skin, because you've only got one.
Right.
It's only you.
And we're certainly out here repping it at all the pool parties, because I know so many times people go, wait, you're harnessed. I'm like, it's all good. It's waterproof.
Yeah. Right? It's great.
Any plans to visit or vend here in Phoenix or Arizona?
I would love to. It's not a far drive from Denver. And with, you know, travel changing the way it is and certain airlines diminishing their baggage policies, it's looking like driving is more of a good idea. But I would love to come down to Phoenix and vend for you guys one weekend, set up at one of the bars if we can get it taken care of. But as of right now, I don't have anything. The good thing, again, about Phoenix is I can come down there whenever.
So where can people find your work, and how can someone get something custom made?
Sweet. Well, my website is fully functional. You can order anything online. Everything is made to order. My website is www.strapupcustomgear.com. My socials on Instagram, I am Strap Up Custom Gear. On TikTok, I am Lou Bear 303. That's LOUBEAR 303. And I give you my TikTok because I go live and make all of my gear on live. So if you're not over there, please shoot me a follow. Also on Facebook under Strap Up Custom Gear, and on Blue Sky under Strap Up.
Awesome. And finally, if you could design a look for anyone, living or dead, who would it be and what would you create?
Ooh. Gosh, that is a very good question. I think I would want to create something for Lady Gaga because first and foremost, I met her in 2009 at a very small venue here in Denver, and she gave me a kiss on the cheek. So, yes, I would want to design something for her that is something akin to something very dark and bondage, especially in the time that she is in right now with mayhem. Yes. I'm working on a bunch of new bondage products as well. So I think that creating something for her, like a bondage strap dress, would be sick.
Oh, very cool. Well, when you come out with that, you're going to have to come back on the podcast so we can talk about it.
Oh gosh, yes, I would love that.
Lou, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to come on and chat about the biz and make an appearance on the podcast.
This is what community sounds like.
Popcorn, peanuts.
You want to experience Pride Night at Chase Field like a VIP? GayPHX and Oliver Electric are giving away two diamond-level seats to the Diamondbacks Pride Night game on Thursday, June 27th. And yes, parking is included.
Popcorn, peanuts.
You'll enjoy 10% off concessions and 20% off gear at the team shop. You can even order food from your seat with a QR code. Enter now at GayPHX.com. Bonus entries for following us, Oliver Electric, and subscribing to the GayPHX podcast. We'll draw the winner on Sunday, June 22nd, and announce the name in our June 24th episode. Don't miss this Pride Night hookup. Go enter now.
Pride lives here.
If you've been nodding along, smiling, or maybe even feeling a little more seen today, good. That's exactly what we're here for. From chosen family to pup play to harnesses that actually fit, today's guests remind us how powerful it is to feel like you belong. And speaking of finding your joy in your own skin, summer's heating up, and so are the places where our community comes together. With the Grit Pool Parties officially back, we're so proud to be teaming up with them this season. If you haven't seen the Oasis yourself, check out the photos and details at gritaz.com. And don't forget, our first in-house giveaway is live at gayphx.com thanks to our friends at Oliver Electric. You could win two premium diamond-level tickets to Pride Night at the Diamondbacks on June 27th, complete with seat-side ordering, team shop and concession discounts, and all the Pride energy you can handle. Enter by midnight on Saturday, June 21st, and we'll announce the winner right here on the June 24th episode. And if you're still thinking about Chrome Night at Bunkhouse, don't worry, we've got you covered. Head over to gayphx.com/photos to check out all the gear, demos, and deliciously bold moments you might have missed. If you like what you heard, be sure to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcast, and check out gayphx.com for more event photos, our community calendar, and to tell us who we should feature next. This is your community podcast, and your voice belongs here. We'll be back next week with more stories worth wagging about.
We're together, the sun is bright, and there's nowhere better than by your side.
The sun is bright, and there's nowhere better than by your side.
Thanks for hanging out with the Gay PHX Podcast.
Be kind.
Be bold.
Be you.